Yeah, hey, Tim, to make the bracha. 011 Thursday night. Chavos Hung Lovers. Okay. Kuf Ayin Vav. We'll go back to Kuf Ayin Vav, the last five lines. Chavos Hung Lovers. By the way, this coming week we're going to learn Chavos Hung Lovers and Mitzvah Shem on Wednesday night. This coming week. 6 days from now. We'll learn Chavos Hung Lovers Wednesday night, not Thursday night. Same time, same place, Mitzvah Hashem, but not same night. Okay. The last five lines on Kuf Ayin Vav, the Chavos Hung Lovers, you should pardon my expression, he should be Meichel me, went on a whole rant against the... Sometimes you have words that just capture something, and you just have to use those words. It's the right word. It's just the right word. Precision, my Rosh Hashiva told us always, precision trumps, it doesn't trump nivul pechas v'shalom, but it trumps using a word that you wouldn't use in normal conversation. But if that's the if that'll bring out the precise idea that you're trying to convey, then go for it. That's what he told us. And he indeed in Shir many times, but often enough, I remember fondly, he would use words that you wouldn't expect the Rosh Hashiva to use because it captured the idea that he wanted to say very well. So, Chavos Hung Lovers went on a rant against astrology, and we talked about not only for lack of bitochen purposes and for shituf reasons, but Poshet, it was like the PhD of its time. People went for a doctorate, they wanted a peer educated, political analysis, predict what's going to be, and Mamela, people should look up to them, and they got into that. Then he asks a few questions where in Tanakh it seems like people are making simonim, nichush it's called. If this happens, it's a good sign, it's a bad sign, it seems like. So he explains it. Never was meant as controlling destiny. It was meant as tefillah. It was meant as a simon from Hashem that he'll perform a nace, and so on and so forth. In the last five lines of Kuf Ayin Vav, he says, "V'yim yomar," and if you'll ask, "Kareyon uroyim ki arishayim meganim," they actually debase and they denigrate. Nisha ein alomi chokh masakol chavim. They party and they sing and dance, but as poil Hashem lo yabitu ma'aseyodav lo yirou. So it's hard to imagine even what his kasha was, because the teretz is so clear. But okay, so he says, Vachari, you have to know all the inner workings of the stars. It's like if someone says, you know, if you would talk against the college education, let's say, or some say, but it's a mitzvah to know math, but it's a mitzvah to know science, but it's a mitzvah to know this. So the answer is, of course it's a mitzvah to know it. The question is the context, and the question is how you acquire that knowledge, and the question is what you mean by your acquisition of the knowledge. Anyway, this I mamash don't understand what his comparison is. That's talking about the astronomy and having to do with Ibur HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana and knowing how to align the solar year with the lunar year and the solar, the lunar month with the seasons. I mean, that's what that means. But apparently in his Havamin, he thought it meant perhaps astrology and such kolchos of the kolchavim. Shenemar, and you're supposed to learn it. Yishmartem ba'asisim ki hi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim. Eizei hi chochmashi le'enei ha'amim heveyoim ezei chishuv tkufas u'mazolos. And indeed, you know, it's really relatively recently, and from what I've read, if I remember correctly, and I might be making a mistake, but I think it's only like in the last 20 years, 30 years, that they're able to really talk about with an accuracy the time span of a lunar month, and it's amazingly accurate, like what Chazal say it is, what the Rambam says it is, you know, to the decimal point. I think it's like 0.0002 off. 2.002 seconds off, exactly the span of a lunar month. I don't know what he wants, because that's Baklal talking about a different discipline. It's talking about astronomy and Sod HaIbur and mathematics and angles and sines and cosines and tangents, and how do you know the Adam saw the Levana? You look up in the back of any the Chazon Ish and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, you'd think you'd open the trigonometry book. So I don't know what he wants. Anyway, Nomalo, his answer is that you're contemplating the Bria, and that's all it means. He doesn't even answer the halachic angle. He just answers knowing the spheres and the mahalach, the pathways of the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations and the mazalos. So that's to be nespoiled from Hashem's Bria. Nomalo, it's like if someone studies biology. So you could study biology to get your master's in it and to get your doctorate and place, and to be called Rabbi Doctor. That's what he was knocking in his first few pages. But to sincerely, like I always say in my school, we're only going to teach the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. So someone asked me, if you could teach all the disciplines in a very kosher way. And that's very true. And I would encourage the students, I'm teaching them how to read, so they can go on their own time. Well, they can get tutors for all I care. And then, and they could study these things and learn them. I'm giving them the tools. I'm not doing anything, actually. But I would be giving them the tools to study it. And you can study biology and the natural sciences, and to go to museums. I think it's great if you do it as a function of Shar HaBechina, Mechavos Halvavos, where, it's amazing. I can't forget, I went to the Museum of Natural History, and I didn't become an apicurus, even though there was a whole dinosaur there. I still believe in Hashem. But what I remember better than the dinosaur there is they had like what goes on under the earth. Like it's a whole world there. It's unbelievable. Like in the strata, it's called, in the lowest strata of the forest, the worms and the ladybugs and all the things. Like it's like you feel so small. And if you ever go snorkeling, or Kosh Gain scuba diving, we say it's a Shemayim v'Sa'aretz, that's Hayom v'Yaskol HaShabom. So unless you've ever experienced it, you don't really know why that rates its own mention. You got Shemayim and Aretz, but like Hayamim v'Chol HaShabom, big deal. It's a whole world. It's a whole world with thousands and hundreds of thousands of creatures and plant life. And it's a whole world there. And so certainly a person should ideally study it and know it. As he says here in the Chayitah of Lovers, Nomalo, Kereshoinim Chivuzos, they demanded that you study it, Mimash Amar Nobi B'Pasuk, to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, Se'u Morom Einechem, look up to the heavens, Uru'umi Bara Eila, and realize that this had to come about through a creator, through a master. And that's the Rambam and Hilchos Yisodei Torah that brings Tavos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It only brings to good things if you do it the right way. V'yomer achosud kireh shamecha ma'asei etzba'osecha yareach v'chochavim asher kononto mo'anosh kisus kerenu. You feel very small and you feel very insignificant, and you realize how much chachma niflah there is in the world. That's all the pasuk means. V'yezel derech hezbonanus b'nimtzos, to recognize reality. Especially, I would say, nowadays in the modern world, where we're so divorced from real life, like we're so technologically, we're removed from rural life, so we have even less shaychus to nature and to Hashem's bria, and that's really part of the machla in the flow of history of the nituk, where it seems like the like atheism. You know, I mean, you know, you take a poll, do you believe in Hashem? So Hashem wins, Baruch Hashem, by 82%. You know, but it's meaningless. They don't really believe in any meaningful way, and people used to always believe, and they used to go to war over it, and it was very chashuv by them. But, you know, the Industrial Revolution was really menatek people from Hashem, because it was menatek people from nature, it was menatek, it took away people from nature, and now you get your milk in a carton, not from a cow, so to speak. So, you're menatek from Hashem when that happens. You don't appreciate, it's like man-made, everything's man. And that's the Industrial Revolution did that, and you have to realize it did that. And it's a shun. That's why the hilltop youth, they don't even want to use tractors. They don't want to use tractors either. They want to work the soil with their hands or with animals. V'hine yiyazel derech hezbonanus b'nimtzol sukudei lulmol b'hanshiyesh lahen borei. Because as much as we say that we believe there's a Hashem, but when push comes to shove, it's not so simple. Right? Everybody wants the best doctor. Everybody's worried about parnasa. Everybody does ishtadlus to the utmost. So to really believe that there's a borei, you can't get enough of. It's not like, okay, stop already. I know. I said Shema Yisrael already today. Like, leave me alone. It's not like that. The more you study and you see and you observe and you get in a spoil, and the more it dawns on you that, hey, it's real, it's true. So you should study these disciplines. Shailu's, when are you supposed to do all of this? That's a good question. So you have a book in the bathroom. Instead of reading a cheap novel, so read about the Bria. Read about the Bria. Read a science book about the Bria. I don't know. You have two very fine... I encourage my children. I know that everybody says there's no time in the day, and it's true. There's two very fine, at least two. I mean, I know of two. It's probably more. Very fine Haredi written encyclopedias in Hebrew that the kids could just like read it. Two very fine ones. One by this guy Halperin,
yeah.
And one is like even more Haredi, so to speak. And it's all about the natural world and animals, and it's really, I forgot what it's called. There's around 7 or 8 volumes in the set already. My kid sits and reads it. So his Rebbe asked him which is like the fastest animal. He knew like the nomad, the leopard, and it gets tired very quickly. Like that's why it loses the race always, because it's the fastest, but it right away gets tired. So he knew that. He was the only kid in his class that knew it. So everybody said, how'd you know? He says, he read it in the encyclopedia. As long as he didn't say he saw it on the internet, Baruch Hashem. I'd be looking for a new cheder. Yochol chacham. Bara'am lo midavar. He created Yesh Me'ayim. Ba'arocham. And he arranged it for his kinam. Ba'oifen ha'toiv. Ha'mashuchlal b'yoser. Everything is arranged in the best possible way. What's it called? I forgot what it's called. I know somebody just wrote a book. I'm not going to pronounce it right. Help me out. The anthro something principle.
Anthropomorphic.
Yeah, and his yesod was that it's unbelievable how if things would be slightly different, nothing could exist. Like, if the world would be like, I don't know if I'm exaggerating. Like if it would be like half a degree tilted towards the sun, so this couldn't exist. And if it would be this, and it, like everything, like it's so perfect, everything is just set up for life so perfectly. So that's what he's saying here. But ofen hatova hamashuchlo biyoser. That's what the Chazal Vavis is saying with these words. Everything is set up in like the ideal way. That's to be nispoled from. Lefika chova lehzboning b'hem ofen zeh. So that's what the pasuk means when it says you have to study astronomy and the kochavim. You have to look at, I don't know, did anybody ever figure out why we need all those billions of stars? All those Milky Ways. What do you need them for?
A wrestling wants an awesome website.
You don't even see it. What pretty. You know what? You can't.
There's not many light.
Yeah, what?
A wrestling I mean, I think it was a nice idea that as the colorful people get so much bigger and better than what used to be in the old days, you know, now we do atomic bombs and the rest of it, then Hashem, as it were, expanded our horizons so we could see so much more of the universe, so we would continue to understand how small we are.
Okay. That's a mahalach. But we still say by the kochadim luchulom shemel sikra, that each star has a name, which luchayra means that each star has a purpose. Maybe it does, in gravitational pull it does, but we're talking about like, what's it called? The nebula? I don't know what it's called even. Like the Milky Way. What's it? A constellation? What's it called? And like that's just one galaxy.
Right.
And then you got like hundreds, millions of galaxies.
Billions.
Billions. And I didn't even watch the Star Wars movies. Look, hey, little Mishpatayim. Not that we should think that these things have power and influence anything. With all of the chokhmah involved, they don't influence anything. Okay, adkan. Again, I'm not sure what the chiddush is, and also I don't know why he ignores that the chayiv adam l'chashei b'tkufas of mazolos is certainly a reference to the sod ha'ibur and the mathematical calculations of it. I didn't see anybody explain why the chayiv adam seemingly ignores that. I don't know. Let's go vayikra. Now we can take a deep breath and like look back at what he talked about for the last few pages. He talked about how the Yetzer Hara lures you into different intellectual sfeikus, and when he finally gives up on the intellectual sfeikus, he then tries to trap you into being involved in Olam Hazeh. And he starts off, if you remember, the two pages back, before he started, he starts off that you want to be comfortable, you want to have luxuries. He starts off very innocently that you want to have a nicer, I'm afraid to say anything. You want to have comfort. I was speaking about the bar mitzvah tonight. I said, the chinuch says, if a person wants to be comfortable, for comfort's sake, no higher purpose. Not that through that he'll appreciate Hashem more, or to enable him to if he's more rested, and or, you know, there should be like a higher purpose to everything. But if you just want to be comfortable because it's gishmak, I hesitate to say the words, it's so scary, you're over the love. If you want moisrus, luxuries, and there's no higher purpose in it, it's just gishmak. I personally don't like steak, if you eat a hot dog, or if you eat a steak, to those who like steak, and your whole purpose is to enjoy it, and you can't bring yourself to a place of appreciation of Hashem, or you'll be able to daven better, or you'll be more calm, so you'll function better at home, because you'll be more calm. If you can't relate it to a higher purpose, consciously, and it's just, this is gishmak. This is gishmak. I love this. Wow, does this taste good? It's such a scary thing. You're over a love. That's what the chinuch says. You're over the love. He says the same, but you can't get malchus for it, because it's impossible to. He says an interesting thing. He says, because, come on.
There's no way to give
up. Well, that's not what he says, though, although it's probably true. He says that it's impossible to quantify. It's impossible to give objective rules. And then he says it's impossible. He says, everybody does it. Like how could you? It's a funny lesson. He says, you're going to go give malchus? But he says, you're even alive. Very scary. So he says, so the Chavis Alvodas really says that that's what the Yetzer Hara tries to pull you in. If he can't be machshel you intellectually, so he wants you to enjoy yourself, and then he pulls you in. He ropes you in because it takes up more and more of your time, And then you get more involved, like drugs. Like drugs. What are drugs? You take a little marijuana, big deal, come on. Smoke a little grass. It's ganz geschmack. But then it pulls you in. It does. It pulls you in. And then all of a sudden, your whole life is so vague around that. And that's all you want to do. This is the Yetzirah's plan. To destroy your world. You know, there's a very short world. How long do we live for already? You know, we say till 120. It's not that long when you compare it to eternity. And he tells you, and he makes you feel industrious. He makes you feel, don't be a batlin. Don't be a shmegegi. Don't be a wimp. Get out there. Be a man of the world. Don't be lazy. And you'll be meek and mild. Come on, you got to get out there. You don't want people to think badly of you. You don't want people to think that you're a wimp. You don't want people to think that you're a nebbish, that you're a nerd. He says, you want people to think that you're a dope, that you're not with it, that you don't know what's going on in the world. Get rid of the Torah. You're going to learn Torah. No one's going to look up to you because you know Torah. Of what value is it, he says? No one's going to stand up. No one's going to respect you. You know, we're living in a world where, Baruch Hashem, we're in a very... we're in a closed society where learning is respected. But you read Chafetz Chaim. I mean, even nowadays, it's silly of me to have to run to the Chafetz Chaim. But just, even the Chafetz Chaim... my point in saying the Chafetz Chaim is because he was writing Sfarim. Imagine who was reading his Sfarim. That's my point. And he was appealing. There's nowadays, let's say I write a Sefer. So who's going to read my Sefer already? I'm preaching to the choir, it's called. So, but the Chafetz Chaim was writing Sfarim, so who's going to read the Chafetz Chaim Sfarim already? Your average Joe. And he's like begging for people to have a little respect for Torah. And like people, you read the Chafetz Chaim, you read in between the lines, he says people, like they would run away from letting their daughters marry someone who was learning, and then the fathers would like chase their kids out of the Beis Medrash and then make them go to work we're talking about at 15, 16 years old. And like you read the Chafetz Chaim, and it's like he's begging people to think about what they're doing to their children. So the Eibishter really made a big turnaround. You know, now the pendulum has swung the other way in certain limited circles of our society. That now our problem is that everyone does it because it's expected. And if they don't do it, it's looked down on. And then now it's done by everybody. You know, the Chafetz Chaim was begging some people to do it. And now, you know, it's swung the other way. In a certain limited segment of society, of Jewish society. Agoponim, the Chavis of Bavis is saying that the Yetzer Hara tells you to get rid of... I grew up in the 50s. I was born in 52. So I grew up in the 50s and 60s. Those were pre... That was pre-Lakewood. That was the tremendous flowering of Torah in Eretz Yisrael and in America. When I was growing up, it was Torah learning was very... I remember, like, in class, Torah learning was very denigrated, and people would talk like, you know, what's Mayahanilon Rabbonon was a daily statement made by the average person. Was Mayahanilon Rabbonon? What, you know, who needs these guys to learn? What good is learning going to do? They were echoing what the Chavos Al Vavos said. You got to go to college. You have to. It wasn't to earn a job. They didn't look at it as vocational school. That's fine. Nobody has any nobody should have any problems with vocational school. Nobody should. But I'm talking about the idea of an education. Mamash echoing the Chavos Al Vavos. That was the heyday of YU, when it was looked at. The reason. There was an element there that looked at secular studies as a goal, as a tachlis. it's fun to be educated. The way the Chovetz Chabad talks about that there's an inyan to be educated, and what good will Torah education do? Certain elements. At least that's what it stood for in those days. And I'm talking about now in the 50s and 60s. That was the battle. Whether it was justified or not, that's like you say, you know, you say Hasidim and Misnagdim are fighting. Is it a justified fight? You can't pick out from the ball of twine. You can't pick out the thread anymore to see if it's justified or not. You just know that there's a fight between these two parts of society. What good is it? It doesn't do you any good. Okay, period. Now there should be really a new paragraph. If you look back, if you look back on Daf Kuf Ayin Dalad, Kuf Ayin Hey on the top, Kuf Ayin Dalad the last two lines, and Kuf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph on the top, Kuf Ayin Hey on the top. So that's when he said that if he, when he stops with intellectual kashas and he just tries to lure you into being involved in Olam Hazeh, so he wants to make you comfortable, that you should enjoy life and that should be your pursuit. So he says that's where you first fall into his clutches. That's what he's saying now on Daf Kuf Ayin Zayin. V'yem lo niftach Pesach. So he's referring back to how he started this whole talk. V'yem lo niftach Pesach l'tavos bereishos darkon. But if you head him off at the pass, cut him off. Right? If you right away cut him off at the pass when he first starts, you right away cut him off. V'lo namalei heftzo. And you stop him right away when he's telling you to do Devarim Hamutarim. He's still telling you about things that are mutter to do. But he's trying to lure you in with comfort and with enjoying life and moisrus. The lonam alechetzo b'shimush b'mosoros v'halehitos achrehen, and the striving for it as a goal. If we right away tell the Yetzihara, sorry, this is not my bag, this is not my cup of tea, this is not for me, I have no interest in it as a goal, as a life's purpose. I realize that this is not a purpose of life, but what am I going to gain out of it when all is said and done? V'noshev lo, and we answer him, Shamosoros ein lehem tzorech. There's really no purpose in it. It's fleeting. It's extremely temporary. And then afterwards, who knows, what are you left with? You're left with like a taste in your mouth. Usually it's a bitter taste. I'm having enough trouble, you tell the Yetzirah, keeping my head above water just to earn a living. You're trying to get me to work more hours so that I can afford more things. Believe me, I'm having enough trouble making ends meet and davening properly and learning as much as I can. And, you know, stop. You know, I know my limitations. I have enough. I can't even handle that properly. Earning a living, which is a hechrech. That's not moisrus. So v'yim zimim lano Hashem. If Hashem works out, maneuvers, that we have min hamosoros, luxuries, belisha natrides li beinu bohen, without getting involved in acquiring them, ubelisha nafil machshavteinu lekach, and without scheming and planning how to have it. But it works out. You know, you have a job, and you have to have a job because you have to earn a living. And you have an income that allows you a certain leeway and latitude that you don't have to just eat bread and water. You know, but so that's okay, he says. If you don't work towards it, that's not your... If you're not adding extra hours in order to have those moisturers, and you're not, like, thinking about it, it works out that way. That's fine, that's cool. Nishtamish ben b'mesheroi, if it's mutter, of course, if a meshet tzorich, it's fine. V'yimlav, and if it doesn't work out, nishtapik the mezono, so we'll have, you know, ends meet. Unavater al kol shazul al zeh. And I'm a meichel, all those other things. Oz, then you stop the yitzhar, you don't let him get his paws on you. And then he stops. He has nowhere to go. If you stop him at that point, and you say, you stop him at the point of Moses, says, You stop him at the point of beyond necessities, then he has nowhere to go. He can't dig further, as described so eloquently in these last few pages. Okay.